Welcome, Green Bay Packers fans, into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and Packers News. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. Guys, we are still here in Kansas City. The Green Bay Packers have just lost 13-7 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom, I'm going to start with you, just your initial takeaways of this game and Jordan Love's first start.
Well, first, I just noticed that Steve Spagnuolo just blitzed again. The lights are still on here, and he's at middle of the field.
He probably blitzed the bus as it left the parking lot.
Yeah, he blitzed Jordan Love into oblivion, essentially. But, there's always, when you watch these games, and I learned this over the years of watching quarterbacks in the preseason, guys like, after Favre got taken, they would draft quarterbacks, Ty Detmer, Mark Brunell, Matt Hasselbeck, and you'd see these guys, and they get in preseason, and everything would kind of be all jumbled, but they would make a play. Like, they would get the ball into the end zone one way or another. They would just find a way to make a play. And I kept waiting for Jordan Love to do that, and he couldn't do it. And it didn't really happen until the fourth quarter. And, I mean, he did make a good play on the final, on their touchdown drive. But to me, that was like the only big play he made. It was a tough assignment. I think there's a lot for him that we don't know about him as to whether he's going to make it or not. But I wanted to see more big plays. That's the thing that stuck out with me.
Ryan, the Queen, Tina Turner, once asked, "What's Love got to do with it?" It felt like today Love had everything to do with this loss. Is that fair to say?
Same head coach, right? They had more receiving weapons than a week ago. They had
defensive
their running backs.
Back.
What was the difference? The difference today was the quarterback position. So Matt LaFleur fell on his sword after the game. He was very critical of himself, said it had fallen squarely on him. He even had a very well-articulated reason for it. Said that he had too many plays that took too long to develop against the zero blitz package, and that it was really a bad plan. And I didn't see much from Jordan Love to think it's anything other than the quarterback position. It's one game, and who knows where they go from here, where he goes from here. But
you didn't see some of
impressive.
Those plays when he had like 7-step drops and they were blitzing everybody. I honestly, when I was watching the game, I was like, what are they doing? I mean, why are they not playing the quick passing game? Why aren't they just letting him hit the short outs to Davante Adams? And, I'm sorry I'm bogarting this, but I think Matt LaFleur forgot that Aaron Rodgers wasn't his quarterback and sort of called it.
How can he forget that Aaron Rodgers isn't his quarterback?
He's so used to going into
games. I think
he's
protecting Jordan Love. I thought it was a really bad performance by him. He didn't make it. What did you see that inspired you that Jordan Love is going to be a good quarterback? I'm not saying he's going to be a bad quarterback because it's one game. But what did you see to think that, yep, that's a really good quarterback right
he
there?
He threw a really nice ball in the face of pressure on that touchdown to Lazard.
So one nice ball all game.
No, there were a couple other.
It.
He threw a nice ball to MVS across the middle. Yeah. That was a nice play.
He at the start of the fourth quarter, I even tweeted about this, at between the third and fourth quarter, he must have gone into a telephone booth and came out a whole different quarterback because he hit like six straight going right
seven.
Into
yeah. Yeah,
six straight going into the fourth quarter. It was seven straight overall. But at the start of the fourth quarter, he hit six straight. And he was hitting wide open receivers, and he was letting it rip, I thought, the way that Matt LaFleur has told him that he needs to do, going back to preseason and training camp, let it rip, and he was doing it then. That was a very small window, and everything else around that left a lot to be desired.
This is notoriously a tough place to play. It is loud. They pride themselves on being the loudest in the world. We just saw that downstairs. how much of that do you think factored in to a quarterback getting his first true start? Because like you said, in the fourth quarter, he did seem to sort of get his feet up underneath him. And it seems like also Matt LaFleur started calling plays more to his suit in the fourth quarter as well. Like more of what gets him comfortable, gets him out of the pocket, gets him on the move. How much do you think the fourth quarter could be what he builds off of? And in this tough place to play, how much of a factor did that play for the first three quarters?
I think that has something to do with it. I'd be curious to see him at home when the offensive line was actually playing halfway decently. They played terrible. I mean, Royce Newman got his butt kicked all day. There were guys in his face all the time, even when it wasn't an all-out blitz. He had pressure on him a lot. I mean, he got knocked down six times. But, okay, I would like to see what he plays. I actually want to see him play against Seattle next week. I think that would be really a good, better indication. Like, how does he bounce back off of this? What did they learn? And I did see a few things that made me think, okay, he's got some talent. I just didn't see anything yet that tells me he's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. We're not close to seeing that yet.
And let me ask you this, Ryan, because I feel like you'll be able to take this and run with it. We keep saying, okay, it's his first game. It's his first game, and it's in Kansas City, a tough place to play. At the same time, how long has he been in this system?
Year and a half.
Is that not arguably long enough?
Yes.
To have been able to have a better performance than what he did today against a defense that's been giving up anything anybody wants?
A defense that might be the worst in the NFL came in ranked 28th in yards and 29th in points. Mm-hmm. This is a bad defense, and they scored 7 points. Mm-hmm. So other than that early fourth quarter, I didn't see much. I think that the quarterback position needs to be able to make a whole lot more plays than that. You only saw Jordan Love throw past 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage 3 or 4 times all night. It was not something where he was given a lot of opportunities to make plays. You got to think that Matt LaFleur might have had a reason for that. So I thought the game plan was really tailored to trying to protect him and not ask him to do too much. The biggest thing that I would be concerned about going forward, the Packers have got to hope that his lack of accuracy, his erratic accuracy, starting on the very first play of the game where he's rolling right on the boot and he's got Dominic Daphne wide open and no one's around it and he just airmails it. You saw that many times tonight. Mm-hmm. 14 targets for Davante Adams, only 6 completions, 42 yards. You saw Davante Adams hanging his hands on his hips by the end of the game. There was frustration sinking in. They've got to hope that lack of accuracy was nerves, making your first start on the road, you know, loud environment, and that it's something that he can get over. Because if not, that is the thing that will sing Jordan Love. If he cannot be more accurate than he was tonight, completing 19 of 34 passes, he doesn't have a chance. He's got to be more accurate.
Jordan Love, for better or for worse, right or wrong, has been compared a lot to Patrick Mahomes throughout his career, coming out of college, things like that. Patrick Mahomes, when he was drafted by the Chiefs, and I bring this up because I think it's a good comparison considering who they were played against today. Patrick Mahomes, when he was drafted by the Chiefs, was considered, much like Jordan Love, to be a project. They were going to let him sit for a year behind Alex Smith and sort of learn the system, get his feet wet, and get to a point where he could be comfortable taking over an NFL team. They did that with him. I think he came in on, like, the last week of his rookie season, like, when they had a playoff spot secured. They brought him in to play and set Alex Smith. They won that game. And then the next year is when he went on to an MVP season. It's hard to say that Jordan Love is on the correct trajectory or on the he's meeting the markers when you look at what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. And then, like we said, look at Jordan Love, who's been in the system now for a year and a half. And granted, they didn't know he was playing until Wednesday, but he didn't look to have a game plan ready for him, a package even ready for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom, is that fair to say that it was partly his fault, partly coach's fault, partly development's fault?
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know how you could watch this game and go, what is the game plan here? Mm-hmm. What are they trying to get done? How are they mixing things up? How are they trying to get him comfortable? Now, I agree, he came out with those first couple balls were terrible, but mm-hmm. I'm someone who saw Brett Favre in his first season throw balls into the stands. You know, I mean, he was so bad. Mm-hmm. It happens. Guys need time to get their mechanics together. It's a bad league of guys with bad habits of, you know, with their feet. And Mahomes is having that problem now too. Who had a better game,
Jordan Love.
Patrick Mahomes.
The stat sheet says Jordan Love.
Patrick Mahomes is going against a legitimate top 10 defense. Jordan Love is going against maybe the worst defense in the NFL.
That's fair.
I would say Patrick Mahomes had the better game. They're very close in the stat sheet. Very close. I mean, they're in the same ballpark. One defense was completely different than the other.
Well, I wouldn't say that that defense was played that poorly today. I mean, I think the Kansas City defense was fired up, and they were going after it, you know? And I thought they played better than they have played. Where I thought LaFleur didn't exploit them is on the ground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just thought that it was just a bad mix of plays, play calling. I'm not trying to make excuses for Love, but I never felt like he found a way to get him into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I look at it differently. I just don't know that the quarterback showed that he was capable of doing much more. I just didn't see what he was. I'm not saying that long-term Jordan Love can't be a good quarterback. We've seen flashes of talent when we've been able to go back to the preseason. He had his moments, right? What did you see? I didn't see much at all other than that early fourth quarter when he got strung a few throws together against wide-open receivers. Mm-hmm. I didn't see much at all that – I mean, the game plan was tailored to make him comfortable. The very first play of the game, he had a rollout to a tight end in the flat that was wide open. Mm-hmm. It's an easy throw. It's the prototypical easy throw, just get one over the plate, have an easy one. And he airmailed the throw.
Well, like, that's the first play of the game. I know. I mean, he's nervous. That's going to happen. Plays like that. But, I mean, you can't get stuck on just that play.
No, but the reason I'm bringing that up is because that is the purpose that Matt LaFleur is rolling out that game plan, is to get him comfortable with throws like that.
Okay.
That is why he's trying to do.
But he did it, what, once? So the next time they ran it, he did try to run it. Looks like they threw some screens. And then they got caught in a 3rd and 8, you know? And every time he tried to run it, Jones ran. So they got a first down. Two first downs, then it's 1st and 10, Jones gets 3, then Jones gets -1, and then it's 3rd and 8. And the guy's done once it's 3rd and 8 because they're coming after him.
I thought the two places where the Packers missed Aaron Rodgers the most tonight was 1 3rd down, because if they stayed on schedule down and distance, this Packers offense could move the ball, but once they got into 3rd and 8, they had no chance.
Right.
They had no chance.
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers, 50-50 when you're off schedule. He can make he can save drives like that. They didn't have that tonight. And the other is the offensive line. I think that you're seeing how much – I thought you saw tonight how much quarterback play has to do with the offensive line. Mm. I'm not saying that the Packers' offensive line was good by any means. There were some jailbreak blitzes that Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, nobody would have any chance against. But – you've seen Aaron Rodgers overcome a lot on that offensive line week in and week out, really going back to last year. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Love couldn't do that because he's a young guy, right? I mean, that's to me the biggest issue is the accuracy, the lack of the accuracy. It is very, very erratic accuracy. That's the issue. But those are the two areas to me, 3rd down offensive line play, where the Packers missed Aaron Rodgers the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Aaron Rodgers is playing, they're not blitzing him like that. Nobody blitzes Aaron Rodgers. Now, they tried it in that game in 2019, and he threw for 305 yards and 3 touchdowns. So it's kind of hard. That's kind of apples and oranges, because they wouldn't have played him that same way. We don't know how they would have played him. But I agree, he would have carved them up. I just think he would have. And, you know, Ryan, I was thinking the way you were thinking until the fourth quarter, and then until I had a little bit of time to just kind of think about it and kind of put it all together. I agree. The first three quarters, to me, I was pretty down on Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. And then I just started thinking that there were a few passes he started to. There was a reason he was more accurate at the end than he was in the beginning. I think that had to do with the play calls.
They kept him under center a lot more than I thought they would. Mm-hmm. For someone who is so comfortable off RPOs and in the open field, I really thought we would see him more in shotgun. Ryan, you mentioned the third downs. At one point, they were 0 of 10 on third down. By the end of the game, they had mustered together 2. So they were 2 of 12. You're not going to win many games 2 of 12 on third down and lose it. I believe they lost the turnover battle as well, correct? That he had an interception, and then we would consider the muff a turnover.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they lost the turnover battle.
Special teams.
They lost third down. How much? You got into this a little bit, but I'm bringing it back up because I want you to dive into it more, both of you. How much of a difference would Aaron Rodgers have made on third down? And was there anything that Jordan Love could have even done to save that?
No, it's huge. And you know, the other place, it's hard for me to give Jordan Love a ton of credit for the fourth quarter, because it seemed like after the way that fourth quarter started, it kind of dissipated again. The rhythm that he had kind of dissipated again. And by the end, this was a game. Like, they were in position to win this game. And in this league, you need quarterbacks to go win a game. I was talking with Pete Doherty, late in the game, and he was recalling Brett Favre's first action, first game against the Bengals, how it looked like a train wreck for a lot of the time. But then at the end, it was a ball game, and Brett Favre went out there and he won it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what this game was begging for Jordan Love to do. This wouldn't have been a game if Aaron Rodgers was playing, but if it was a game, that's what Aaron Rodgers would have done. You've seen it over and over and over again this season alone. That's what this game was begging Jordan Love to do, and that's what in this league you need quarterbacks to be able to do.
But he almost did. He got them a touchdown that, you know, if they don't miss 2 field goals, would have tied the game, right? And then if they stop him, Mahomes down there, he gets a 2-minute drive. You know, he gets a minute and something. Irony of all ironies, in the Brett Favre game, Terrell Buckley returned a punt for a touchdown. So, you know, they were down 17-3, and he returns that just changed everything. And what's the opposite here is they can't even field a punt, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we can all agree that their special team stinks. But before we can do that, I want to ask you, Cassidy, you got a chance to watch Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
He really struggled early on, right? I mean, he's had his struggles.
He did, but when y'all were sitting here talking about Love, I kept comparing it to Trevor Lawrence and thought, well, I'm not going to bring that up. People don't care about that. But thank you for asking. He struggled, but he always looked competent, if that makes sense. Every time he stepped out on the field, he had at least one moment, if not several, where you went, that's what a number one overall pick looks like. Mm. He knew where to go with the ball. His struggles were mostly the turnovers. It wasn't even necessarily the speed of the game. He seemed to adjust quickly to that. He knew where to go, and he knew how to pick apart a defense. His struggles were trying to figure out how quickly that window was going to close. You know, how quickly that safety, how much quicker the safety in the NFL can get there versus in college. And the thing with Trevor Lawrence that I noticed was he never made the same mistake twice. And that even if everyone else around him was playing badly, he could take over a game if he had to. And there were several times, you know, they won today, making them, what, 2-6, I think, or something like that. I'm trying to do the math. But he had them in several games, to Ryan's point. They could have won against Cincinnati, which now would look like a really good win. They could have won against, I'm trying to think of who else he had them in. He had them in the game versus the Cardinals at halftime. You know, they led that game at halftime. Mm-hmm. And had them in it at Cincinnati, too, if it weren't for the defense. And so he took over a game when he had to your point of what a quarterback should do in those moments, and never seemed flustered by what the defense was doing. He would test himself because he knew he was on a bad team. With a first-time head coach. And he would test himself and see how quickly he could throw into or how tight of a window he could throw into, what guy he could test here, what guy he could test there. And those were where the mistakes came in. And then he immediately learned from those and didn't make them again. That's what a first-round quarterback should do.
The big question I'd have when it comes to, and I think it's a worthwhile comparison, is the accuracy.
He's incredibly accurate.
Because, again, I mean, over and over again, mm-hmm. Jordan Love he missed his target tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, where's Trevor Lawrence's accuracy?
I'd put it up there better. I'd put it up there with just about anybody else's, which sounds weird to say considering that he was tied with Patrick Mahomes for the most turnovers in the league. But, again, that was part of, let's see what I can get away with. I'm a rookie on a bad team. Let's see what I can do in the NFL that I could do in college. And sometimes just purely chucking it up there. You know, a lot of his interceptions were on long balls.
And you know,
again,
and
just seeing what he could do. He's incredibly accurate.
In this type of game, that would have been disastrous.
Right.
I mean, that's the one thing about Jordan Love is he didn't. Really, he had some plays that could have been picked off, but it wasn't the decision that was bad. It was just he was off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it, too, in this offense. They do not want turnovers mm-hmm. in any way, shape, or form. And so he didn't get to really just chuck balls up there.
That's the difference between a bad team and a contender.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
And I'll give him this. His turnover was on a 50-50 football. I mean, I'd have to go back and watch it. I'm trying to just remember it off the top of my head. But that seems to me like one of those, the receiver could have come down with it as well.
I've seen Davante Adams come down with those before, but it was just a little overthrown.
It's like Jordan Love said, the chemistry between him and Davante Adams, they just didn't have enough time to build mm-hmm. that up. So I think that in general that was going to be a tough ask. Hey, Jordan Love did have about the best -1 yard completion I've ever seen.
That was impressive. I know what you're talking about.
To me, honestly, that's the best play I saw him make the entire game. Even better than a touchdown. Because that could have been a disaster, especially with a young quarterback making his first career start. I don't know how he saw Mercedes Lewis, but to get him out of a negative place, sometimes what you got to do, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
have y'all seen the – I don't know what I can get away with saying on this, so stop me if I need to. There's a meme concerning Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill where it'll show Patrick Mahomes, like, just chucking a ball a lot of times with his eyes closed, and it says – F it, Tyreek's down there somewhere. That's what that play seemed like to me.
That's Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams a lot, too.
Yeah.
No, I thought tonight, and I'm not condoning this, I'm not saying it's right, but I thought tonight you saw why the Packers have placated Aaron Rodgers so much going back to the beginning of the year, right? Going back to the offseason.
Yeah.
You saw tonight why they've not stood up to him, why they have let him basically do whatever he wants. And that you saw that tonight. And it's because this is an entirely different team without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And honestly, even more so than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I knew, obviously, it's an entirely different team. But it's an entirely different team without Aaron Rodgers. I kind of looked at this game in two ways. One, Jordan Love. But in two, everything around Jordan Love, inserting Aaron Rodgers. And to me, the special teams is the one area that needs to improve.
Yeah.
But if they are able to do that, play this level of defense, and have Aaron Rodgers on the field, nothing that you saw tonight can't be fixed by Aaron Rodgers except the special teams. Mm-hmm. But, boy, this you saw why they placate him.
Let's get into special teams.
Yeah.
Never mind, Tom. No, it looked like you wanted to say
no,
something.
No, no, no. Go ahead. I wanted to get into special teams, too.
They should walk into their room tomorrow, and on the whiteboard, it should say, "Laces out, Dan." I mean, that was the problem with both field goals, mm-hmm. was it not?
Yes, it
so
was.
So you even asked Matt LaFleur, and he admitted it, but I'll let you share what he said.
Yeah, well, he just said, yeah, and I said, he said, yeah, they were both outside pointing the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, is that the holder or the long snapper? It's the long snapper. The ball has to, there's a exact number mm-hmm. of rotations that the ball is supposed to take. Now, the holder can move it a little bit, but it's hard to move it, you know, if it's pointing, it's hard to move it 45 degrees, which is basically, no, 90 degrees. He's moving, he's having
yes.
to move at 90 degrees.
Yes.
And I don't know if he didn't even try. So I was wondering if Crosby told him, don't even try. If it's off, it's off, and I'll kick it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's worse if you try to turn. I don't know. Because he didn't really even try to spin it. Did you guys see him try to?
No, I didn't. And I'm with you. I think it's on the long snapper, and clearly they still have questions there after replacing Hunter Bradley.
Because if it snapped correctly, it's not a problem to grab and hold.
No, it should come right down with the laces pointing mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit off. But, you know, they had a guy, Brett Goode, who, like, in 7 years never had a bad snap. I mean, it was incredible. And the snap was always right there. Or the laces were always pointing forward.
They did sign a new long snapper this week, Stephen Wortel. One of my best friends from college, played in the NFL for a long time as well. He was a long snapper. He always told me, if they know my name, I did a bad job.
Yeah.
And we know this guy's name. And so there were two. There was a missed field goal. There was a blocked field goal. Could be argued it was on the long snapper. There's no question, though, it's an issue overall with the special teams unit, and we haven't even gotten into the muffed punch yet.
Yeah, and but so, this was my question I was going to ask about special teams. Mm-hmm. So if they get the long snapper settled and a punt returner, are their special teams that bad?
Their coverage has been better, but I don't know.
But their coverage is what caused the muffed punt tonight, too. Or the yes, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it wasn't Rodgers.
No.
You don't think it was Rodgers?
On the muffed punt?
Yeah, he should have caught that.
He's
got to get up there.
Yeah,
and
that's 100% point. On Rodgers. Yeah, okay. You got to catch a punt.
I mean, Malik Taylor is blocking, right. And he did everything he could to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure he called whatever they call it, you know, when the ball hits the ground. But
yeah. So,
okay, that's a good
point. I think that the return game is just going to be an issue, because I don't think it's getting better, because Kylin Hill ain't coming back.
No.
And Amari Rodgers ain't a punt returner on this level. I'm not seeing it. Are you seeing it?
Well, I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. They keep putting him out there, and they kept him out there even after the muff, which shocked me.
I was surprised too. Who else are they going to go to?
Randall Cobb. Just put him out there and have him fair catch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's done it.
The Tremont Williams role.
Yeah, yeah. Stand out there and put your hand up as soon as.
Fair catch it.
I don't know, but he did fair catch, but he dropped another one.
He muffed another one, and he was lucky it rolled back into his hands.
Yeah.
Because it rolled into a Chiefs player's hands. It could have easily been a turnover on, like, the 10-yard line again. And it rolled out of his hands and back into Amari Rodgers' hands.
I don't get it.
Which I think is why he didn't catch the – you saw why he was hesitant to catch the other one. Mm-hmm. Does not look like a guy who's very confident fielding a punt.
No, not at all.
And that's most of what fielding a punt is confidence and vision.
But
you have to ask, does he have either right now?
on the blog, people are just saying special teams is a disaster. It's a disaster. It's a disaster at long snapper, and it's a disaster at punt return. But I think people forget how bad their return, their coverage units were last year. Every time they had like a big play, they scored a touchdown, then there would be like a 60-yard return, you know, and it was time after time. And they haven't allowed any really significant returns this year.
I actually think Maurice Drayton's doing a pretty good job with the special teams as a whole. The issue with special teams is, and every special teams coordinator says this, that there is no first, second, third down. You don't get multiple plays. Every play is a huge play. And if you have a couple go bad, it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. It's a very unforgiving phase of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem the Packers have right now, is that they're mostly playing well, but they've had every week almost a handful, a couple go bad. And in that phase of the game, that can turn games. And it's too much. And it's not just the snap. That second one, they had a major leakage on the right side of that field goal protection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a consistent issue the entire season as well.
Right.
The field goal in general has been a problem for this team. You can't have that be a problem in January. It's got to get fixed by then, because you might have a season riding on it. So, as well as, I'm with you. I think Maurice Drayton's done a really good job. I think he's a really sharp guy. I think that he's getting it turned in the right direction. The problem, though, is that there are just still too many game influencing breakdowns.
Special teams wins games tonight. It arguably, as much as Love, lost this one. That the special teams caused a 9-point differential in a 6-point game. That makes all the difference in the world.
It does. It does. He might be walking out of here, even though he didn't play that great. He might be walking out of here a winner. But
it's a lot easier to fix things after a win than a loss.
Yeah.
But they do very possibly get Aaron Rodgers back next week. Matt LaFleur did say after this game that as long as he is able to return from protocol, he will be the starting quarterback versus the Seattle Seahawks. So that is another – yes. I got off track. They're currently at 7-2. This is still a very, very good season. Would you not agree?
And they got help. They got help today.
They got a lot of help today.
Whatever in the world happened to the Dallas Cowboys, I don't understand. And then
the Rams, as we speak, they're down, 28-9?
Yeah, that game's over. So the Rams are going to lose. So there's only one last team in the NFC, and that's the Arizona Cardinals, who don't hold a tiebreaker against the Packers.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting season. We will be here with you for it all at Packers News. Tune into the next edition of the Green 19 podcast, brought to you by JS Online and Packers News. For Tom and Ryan, I'm Cassidy Hill. Y'all have a good night.